Good evening, good evening, good evening. I am your girl Kim, and you have just jumped into the red room, into the red bowl on my show, You Better Call Kim. I'm trying to do a little something different tonight, and that is go live. Hey, I'm really tech savvy tonight. I'm about to turn this phone over to my son and see if he can help me out with this, if he cannot try to look at himself. But I'm going to try to do this thing, and we are, for those of you all who are on Facebook, hopefully you all can see us, and we are going to go live and have a good time tonight. Okay, let's get this thing rolling. Now, tonight, I hope y'all had a good day today. It's been a long day for me, but I'm here, and hope you got a couple of hours of energy, and you all are still a little energized and able to participate and call into the show. And tonight, our subject is about couples, about marriage and about couples. And I want you all to remember that our phone lines are open. We are, the discussion is an open discussion. None of us are experts in your lives. We feel like we're experts in our lives and on the subjects that we enjoy and want to talk about, but we want you, the experts in your life, to call in. And that number is 214-717-4678. Again, that number is 214-717-4678. I tell you, I have to be getting some really, really, I really have to get some courage to go live on Facebook when I can barely see the number. They laughing at me, y'all. But you know what? I realized something. If you gonna step out on faith, you gotta step all the way out on faith. You can't be scared. You gotta come on out and do that. So first thing I wanna do, again, is give you that number. 214-717-4678. That's the phone line for you to call in and participate in this discussion. And then the next very important thing I want you all to do is, introduce my studio guest. I have in the house none other than the Davidson Intervention. These two, husband and wife team have been an inspiration in my life. When I have issues with men that have, most of the time I don't understand why men do what they do. I don't get it. And I'm sure men wonder why women do what they do. So whenever I need to get some clarity, get a better understanding of what's going on, I go to this gentleman right here, and that is Mr. Kenneth Davidson. You want to say hello to the audience?
Hello, 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 audience. How you all are doing? We're enjoying ourselves tonight. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Yeah. And his wife, Miss LaVita Davidson. Can you put yourself on there?
Hi, how y'all doing this evening?
You know, these are my go-to. You know, that whenever I think of a model couple, I think of these two. It's not so much that they are perfect, because I'm sure they get on each other's nerves.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I love them to death. I love them because they real, they bring it real, and they keep it 100. I heard somebody, one of these people said, now they said, keep it in a million. Yeah. They keep it in a million. I told them, I said, that ain't going to work. It has to be keeping 100.
Yes, yes,
so I asked them to come into the studio, but also this, y'all making a lot of background noise.
Sure,
about
that's
it.
Right.
So let's come. Let's not do that.
That's me.
So also in the studio is my support system, my go-to, my safety net, the person I turn to when I need to cross a bridge over troubled water. Mm-hmm. That's my dad, none other than Bishop Cleophas Pearson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, hey, you want to say hello?
Hello, hello, hello. Great to see you all tonight. Yeah. And hope that you are tuned in, ready, to hear these two couple discuss this topic that they have introduced. Number one, you got the expert here who have 60 years of this topic.
Go down
the road talking about it.
Yes.
I'm just going to be clapping my hands and praise the Lord.
Yes.
Because I know that they know what they're talking about.
Yes.
So just get ready to call that number that you better call Kim have spoke to you about.
Okay, yes. Again, that number is 214-717-4678. 214-717-4678. I wish I had a stand to come in here and hold his phone. This is so funny, y'all. I hope y'all are laughing about this as hard as I am. So, so let's start. Let's start. Okay, real deal. Now, why is it that a lot of people do not want to get married? I can tell you why. I'm afraid. I am scared.
Yes.
I'm scared. I don't trust nobody. I have earned some deep stripes, some deep wounds, and I'm not all that interested in taking that plunge and committing myself to someone in that way and saying I'm gonna live with you and put up with your stuff to death do me part, to death do us part. That's a really big ticket.
Wow. Yes, it is. Yes,
and so I want to hear from you all. That's the first thing we're going to start with. Why is this seem so difficult? You guys work with lots of couples, people that start out, you know, getting into the relationship, and they come to you all because they're troubled. Why did they get into it in the first place?
Well, I would like to start out with what you just talked about. We always tell couples that marriage is a faith walk. You don't see it all of a sudden, but you got to believe it that it's going to work. I tell couples all the time, and I tell young men this, if you can't put your mate, your fiance, your wife first, don't get married.
Right.
She's not second, she's not third, she's not fourth, she's not way behind the line. She should be first outside of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Should be Jesus Christ first, your wife next in line. If you can't see it, you can't do it, don't even get married. Because it's not, you set yourself up for failure.
Yes.
So fear is one thing that you talk about why a lot of couples don't want to get married. Mm-hmm. They don't mind shacking together. They don't mind living together. Mm-hmm. They don't mind hanging out together. But they don't want to take that plunge into the faith and say, hey, I want to make this commitment for the rest of our lives.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's a faith walk, Kim. So I appreciate you saying that. So first of all, you can realize that I can overcome fear by having the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main thing. Mm-hmm. And Lavita, I'll let you talk about the women part of it.
Well, I think you said it. I think it's a fear. We have fear.
Yes.
Because as women, we're so strong. We're so independent.
Yes.
And it's almost like they feel like something is being taken away from them.
When
you get married, I'm gonna lose who I am. I'm this businesswoman. I'm this manager. I'm this CEO. If I get married, I'm lose who I am. So a lot of women do. They fear that control that they have. They fear they're gonna lose something. So, like you said, it still can fall under fear. They fear that Kenneth said the faith walk, and I think they fear that they're gonna lose their identity. Right. Let me say that.
Well, you know what? I can definitely relate to that because I absolutely believe that if I get married, that there are things that I'm gonna have to give up.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I come and go as I please.
Right.
Right now, if I don't feel like cooking, I don't have to cook. Danny is good with McDonald's. And so I don't have to cook anything. I like to work. I've worked most of my life. I get pleasure from working. I find my identity in my work. No matter how many times I've transformed myself, I have still been able to enjoy my work profession. So the image that I have in my head is that if I got married, I need to be like my mama. I need to be able to put food on the table, cook a good meal. You know, one of them good, solid, three-course, you know, with the cake, the new Sakatumi cake every day.
Yeah.
You know, I need to keep the house clean all the time. I need to create this castle for my husband. And truth be told, ain't nothing in me, ain't nothing about me that says that. I can't do it. I'm being honest with Kim. I can't do it. So tell me about that. How do y'all work with women and couples like that who are just totally stuck in their own ways? Because I'm 50 years old. Chances of me learning how to be a domestic diva is slim to none.
Mm-hmm. Well, and see, first of all, and excuse me for cutting you off, Libby. First of all, that's what you have to realize, that it's me. Uh-huh. In a marriage, it's no longer me.
It but I'm saying I can't do it.
I know it, but you got to get that in your mentality, in your spirit, that, hey, it can be us now. Yeah. Together we stand, divided we fall. Yeah. That's what we have to get couples to learn. We have a lot of women who come along, who gets married and say, I'm going to lose my identity. But they don't realize that when you get married, it should be an enhancement.
Upgrade.
And that's what you look at. You look at marriage and say, okay, when I marry this guy, when I marry this young lady, it's going to be, we're going to go up instead of go down.
Okay.
So both of us have to have it in our mind that we're both bringing something to the table.
Right.
You're not the only one bringing something to the table. The young man is bringing something to the table, too. And you have to see that and say, look, maybe we can put these two powers together and then be,
that's good talk right there.
Right.
So that's what you got to have in your spirit. You got to believe that if we do come together as a team, guess what? We can conquer the world.
Yes.
Together we stand, divided we fall. So we have to get young men to think like that.
You got to get the men to think
that's right.
Okay, what you have to say about that?
Well, you said something interesting because you said, I'm not ready to do that. And I think first you got to be honest with yourself. Just really be honest with yourself and just what is your expectations? Because your expectations may not be their expectation. I think that's a problem that we have when we first meet, because we don't be honest and put that expectation out there. We just, I'm kind of looking for this. I'm kind of looking for tall, dark, and handsome. I'm kind of looking for if he's doing this and if he's doing that. And, you know, I always tell my cousin, I always tell her, I said, Kim, you're not ready because you're not ready to give up that independence that you have. So I know she's not ready to give that up.
Girl, but I'm about to be 50 years old.
I know.
How am I going to not be ready?
How am I going to not be ready?
Even I know that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Okay, by the time I'm ready, I'm going to have one foot in the grave.
Right.
But I just still can't make that mental leap. Like, I mean, there's like this big barrier that says, don't do it. If you do it, you're going to have trouble. Old boy going to be tripping. He going to be asking you to do something you don't feel like doing on one of them days. You done had a hard, long, hard day at work, and you're going to go off. And that marriage going to end right there we're going to air all my dirty language.
I got you. But to me, you're already kind of setting yourself up for failure because you keep pouring that in your spirit.
Yeah.
I ain't going to be able to do this. You know, he can't come in and tell me this. He can't do that. You can't set yourself up for failure like that. It's already you just like your life pattern. You didn't know that you will be on this path right now.
That's true.
You did not know you will be on this journey. And that's I've seen true. Your journey. So that's why I said you did not know this, but guess what?
She had the faith to believe that it would come to fruition.
Yes.
So that's what you have to faith to believe in marriage, that, hey, there is a knight in shining armor out there for me. There is a guy out there that's strong enough, has enough strong enough willpower to let me know, Kim, you can come alongside me and we both can make this thing work. Mm-hmm. And not Kim leading. Because that's what we find in a lot.
I can't lead.
That's where a lot of marriages fail at right now. Because the wife is leading.
I can't lead.
The husband is coming alongside the wife. And
but
guess
I'm
what?
A really good leader.
That's what they call role reversal. So you got to learn how to not have role reversal.
I'm a really good leader.
If you have faith to believe that God is going to send this guy my way, and everything is going to work out fine. So that's what we got to do. We got to pay. You got to have the faith to believe that God's got a young man out there for you that's going to help you, and you're going to enhance him, and both of us going to come together and make this a marriage work. But if you don't believe that, you're going to be stuck in yourself and say, Kim can do it all by herself. It's me, myself, and I can take on the world. I can do this. So that's what you got to focus on. You got to focus on that. Hey, there's somebody out there that's strong enough to help me be the best that I can be.
Yeah, so I'm sorry about all that background noise out there of y'all listening, because they working with the mic stuff, and I hope y'all enjoying this. Somebody said Cynthia Thomas Moore said, I hear you. I know you know, girl.
Yeah.
But you know what? I really do appreciate this opening up my mindset, because I think a lot of women out there have the same idea. And truth be told, I'm going to be very transparent for this audience tonight, because I think this is a subject that really we don't know how much we take on ourselves when we have this fear and when we have this lack of trust, and it ends up being this extra load that we take on our shoulders, and we get into this cycle where we're living a life of, we're living a life that's not balanced, causing us to have all kinds of emotional problems, doing things that are that defeats us, and you know, all these mental health things that I talk about in counseling, just completely out of balance. And so I think it's really interesting, and it's good that you, as I'm listening to you all talk, I'm also thinking about how much I have played that message in my head.
Yes.
To the extent that I really
you
have convinced myself that I am not worthy.
Yes.
I'm not worthy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so opening myself up to saying and changing that message, changing that recording that I played in my head, to believe that, you know what, I am worthy.
Yes.
I can do this.
Yes.
The man I meet may not even expect me
exactly
to do all the things that I've I do this in counseling all the time, so I'm being very transparent for my audience so that they can see this in process. Again, if this subject speaks to you, I don't know how long we're gonna be on live, but if my phone stops, I want you to go to You better call Kim, click on the link, and you will be able to continue to hear this conversation, because I think it's a really good conversation, and it's something that we as African Americans, we need to talk about this.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We need to talk
Absolutely.
About this, because when we're talking about mental health, we're talking about the family, not just the individual person.
Right.
So here, you know, even though I say all of this, and I say, you know, I'm a single woman, and I'm doing this, and I'm holding it down, as I like to say, I'm boss lady, you know, I'm boss lady.
Yes.
The reality is, boss lady is paying a heavy, heavy, hefty fee.
Yes.
She's paying a hefty fee.
Yes.
That's, at this age, I'm learning it's affecting my health.
It is.
Because I can't carry it all.
Yeah.
I need somebody to come fix my gate right now, and I can't even do it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So they're having that extra person there help. You know, there's also this thing, and I want y'all to talk to me about this. There's this statistic that says married people live longer than single people. Married people have a better quality of life than single people. Do y'all find that to be the case?
I know several young men. Thank you for bringing that up. I know several young men I talk to at our church all the time, and I get information from them. Two or three of them been married 50, 60 years. You know, and they look great together. The husband and the wife, they don't even look, you know, like they're that old.
Yeah.
You know, and I asked them, I said, what is the key to success in life, like in marriage like that? They said, loving one another, being one another's helper, being one another's kind mate, being one another's helpmate. And I said, that is so great that you can come alongside and help each other be the best that you can be and live to be 70, 80, 90 years old.
Yeah.
Been married 60 years, that's just a blessing right there. So that's what we got to focus on. And I agree with that. If you have someone to come alongside you and take some of the burden off of you, you know, because I know a lot of young men, me and myself, that cook, clean, sew, and iron. We don't need our wives to do that because we can do it.
Right.
So sometimes the husband is there to take the load off the wife so she can just come in, relax, and enjoy life.
Exactly.
You know, so that's where the balance is at, where the husband and the wife as a team work together, help each other be the best that they can be.
Yeah.
And that takes so much burden off the wife.
It
takes
does.
So much burden off the husband. Takes so much burden off the children.
It
because
does.
Everybody's together as a family, working, doing what God designed them to do.
Right.
And if we can get the family back in the role to do that, I guarantee you we'll see marriages take off, we'll see communities take off, we'll see nations and churches take off like never before.
Wow.
And we get back the way God designed it.
Exactly.
You know, it's really interesting because you said, I love what you said about the older couples, because I look at my mom and my dad,
yes,
and the
yes,
people that was married at my grandparents' church, uh-huh, the First Full Gospel Pentecostal Church,
right,
in Dallas, Texas.
Right.
So there's a lot of people,
yeah,
that were married there, and they stayed married because, mm-hmm, they met each other in the church, and
yes,
they were young when,
yes,
they met,
yes,
and they had families, and their families were people that were in the church.
How long have your parents been married?
Oh, Daddy, 60-something? How long
60.
Y'all been married?
60 years.
Praise the Lord.
Six,
you don't
years.
See that anymore.
60 years.
You don't see that anymore.
85 years old.
Wow.
Living good. My grandparents were married 75 years.
You don't
years.
See that anymore.
And my grandmother just passed away, as y'all
yes.
know, at 99. So I have actually seen this firsthand.
Yes.
How
yes.
marriage has really benefited
yes.
the couples, the individual person
yes.
In life, where they
yes.
were they just was able to overcome
yes.
great obstacles
yes.
because of what you said. They
yes.
had that support.
You
yes.
do. You have
they
that
was
support
in the
system.
Fight together.
Yes.
And so, hey Sharon, I thank you. I support you too. Thank you so much. remember, I want y'all to call in. That
yes.
number is 214-717. I'm gonna have to put my glasses on. 4678. 214-717-4678. I want to hear about your stories, because I know that I have some really good friends out there, and some of my friends have been married since they've been married to the same man for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and they have enjoyed the privilege of that support system
yes.
and having those people around them. So listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, my phone ain't gonna last
yes.
for this whole 2 hours.
Yes.
Right.
yes.
So I need you all to go to www.youbettercallkim. Hey Angelica, 21 years strong.
Yes.
I hear you, girl. I hear you,
success,
my friend.
Success.
21 years strong. I want y'all to go
yes.
to www.youbettercallkim.com. And I want you to continue to listen to this show, because we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
And we are talking about this subject that I think is extremely important to our community.
Yes,
it's important to our churches. It's important to our state.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to our country.
Yes.
Because I'm here to tell you, when it comes to raising children, and we going to have, I told somebody, I said, life's going to find a way.
Yes.
I don't care if the man end up in jail. Somehow he gonna find a way to make a baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Life
That's
is gonna
true.
Find a way.
That's
so
true.
We really, really have to get our handle around
yes.
this whole family thing, so we are developing healthy families.
Yes.
So that they are enhancing our lives, and we can
mm-hmm.
kind of start really dealing with all of the crime.
Yes.
All of the depression.
Yes.
All of this suicide.
Yes.
All these things collectively in a healthy whole way.
Right.
So, I just also wanted, so next thing I really want to talk to, thank you all for talking about
yes.
the,
good
go
good
ahead.
Good.
You said that's a good subject?
Good subject.
Good subject. Good subject, yeah. So again, I want y'all to, we want to talk about we talked about the mental health. I'll talk about how it preserves a person.
Right.
So another thing that I studied when I was in school was a subject called the fragile family.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a term that was developed based on a study where they looked at family or couples who had just had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And these were young couples, so they were within 6 months of becoming parents.
Right.
And this study showed that they call these people fragile families, because they were really considered a family because they had a baby.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they said within those 6 months, if that couple didn't receive some kind of intervention, some kind of help,
mm-hmm.
some kind of a direction within the first 6 months,
mm-hmm.
then after the 6 months, the father was going to become absent.
Mm.
The father would become absent. And there were reasons. One, because of the strain on the economic strain on the relationship.
Yes.
Because they never really made that commitment to one another. And so they didn't really bond.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, because the father was not able to access the type of support that he needed.
Yes.
To become a stable father.
Yes.
So they call this type of family fragile families. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about that for a minute, because we have a lot of young people. I'm going to call them young, because, listen, I ain't have no more kids at 50 years old. If I have a kid at 50 years old, y'all all need to sue somebody. I ain't having no kid at 50 years old. That devil is a lie. I ain't having no baby at 50 years old. But but for those that are out there that are still childbearing age, and if they were to have a child, you know, within that very critical time, I mean, what would you tell them? How would you get them stable? How would you move them from fragile family to stable family?
We have a program at our church, Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. Dr. Tony Evans is our pastor. We have a ministry at our church called
Marriage Mentors.
Where we grab a couple, young couple, older couple, and we walk with them for a whole year, entire year.
Oh.
We match up with them. We meet ourselves with them. We join up with them. Then we meet them at their need and walk with them for a whole entire year. If it takes longer, we'll do that. But the whole entire year, we're with them throughout the week. Whatever they need, whatever assistance they need, whatever programs they need, we meet up with them. We take them to lunch. We take them to dinner. We have families gatherings with them. And we walk with them and help them come from singleness to married couples. And
now, are they married when y'all come together, they get married?
I'm saying we try to let them see that. And now you're coming from singlehood to marriage. Now you're coming into the marriage circle.
Uh-huh.
So we have to walk with them and show them how to be married. Because some people don't know what it takes to become a married couple.
Right.
They think, we were talking about this on the way over here. We still have couples that's married living single.
What?
Yes. We still have couples that are married and living single.
Yeah.
You know, they want to be married, but they still want the single life.
Right.
You can't have them both. You either married or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have marriage and single life. And then we have couples that are single and that are living married. So they're trying to play it both ways. You can't do it. You can't have both.
Mm.
You're either going to be married or you're going to be single. You can't be married and single. So we're trying to get couples to see that now. Once you get married, it's your wife and you now.
That's
it's not
right.
Your wife, you, and the fellas.
Right.
Your wife, you, and your sororities. Your wife, you, and your golf buddies. No. It's your wife and you spending the rest of your lives together.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get couples to do that. But the marriage mentoring program, we walk with those couples, and we're seeing great results out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they're learning what married couples do, where married couples hang out at, how married couples handle different situations.
Mm-hmm.
So now that they're learning that now, walking step by step with them, and once that year passed by, they say, okay, now I know what to expect.
Right.
When my wife gets mad, when my husband gets mad, what are they to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of walking away, you know, go to another room instead of leaving the house.
Right. Yeah.
So we're teaching them tools, and we're giving them tools, and we're training them and showing them what marriage is all about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's just amazing. What do you have to say about that?
I was going
to
say, because a lot of times a couple may not have that at their church. So if they don't have that at their church, I see a lot of times where the older couples, to me, for some reason we've backed off of giving back to the younger couples. I don't know what happened. I'm going to say we dropped the baton somewhere. I'm going to say we did.
Uh-huh.
We dropped the baton somewhere, because to me we have to encourage them to let them know what marriage looks like.
That's right.
I tell them a lot of times as a wife we don't make that shift.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When I say shift. It's like the shift is you and I hanging out. This me, you, every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Kim are going to go out every Friday. Now, all of a sudden, Kim will come along, but I want him to come join this.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to come over here. See, I'm still hanging out with you,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't make the shift.
Yeah.
The shift is now I need to shift to Kenna,
mm-hmm.
and kind of look over there at you and say, well, you want to go hang out? Let me check with Kenna first.
Mm-hmm.
Versus.
I remember the first time you did me like that. I kind of understood what you were doing, but it still was a part of me like, oh no, she did it.
I did.
I was like, ooh. But I understood. Yeah, we was in Louisiana.
Oh, wow.
But but I understood, you know, but
yeah.
And so, you know, I think that it's important. You're right. I think it's important that women, even men.
Yes.
We have to make that shift.
And the friends have to understand that as well.
You have to.
You do.
Yeah.
And like I was saying, you have to make that shift. But I always tell women, I said, like you, I said, you didn't get a manual when you had your son, Danny.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't a manual to say, okay, if he cried 2 o'clock, this is what I do. If he's screaming and hollering, this is what he do. When he turned 2, he does this. There was not a manual.
Let me get some background.
There was not a manual there for you to do that, okay? Mm-hmm. I said the same way when you became a wife.
Mm-hmm.
There's you got the word of God, which gives you the guide, but there's no, the word of God don't say, okay, when Kenna get mad and he started doing this, what happens? Well, how do I react, or how do I handle this situation if I don't know what it looks like, and I've never seen what a good marriage look like. So what you have to do is you have to put yourself in those environments to where you get the knowledge, or you ask for help. And when you said, you know, you just boss lady. And I had to learn this. I don't have this big S on my chest and I'm this superwoman.
Yeah.
I can't do it all. I think we all need somebody. So you got to put yourself around that support group that's going to come and help you to see, okay, it's going to be hard. It's hard, trust me. It's hard work. It ain't all...
But you know what? It's hard no matter what.
It is.
It's hard being single.
It is.
And it's hard on being married. Yeah. So, you know, at least you got some help when you're married.
There you go, when you're married. Yeah. You got somebody you can depend on, lean on.
Yeah, at least you got some help when you're married.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Daddy, you've been pretty quiet. Is there anything, any reflections you have on this?
I'm old school. I'm just about as new in trying to analyze what's going on in this new day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And I'm seeing a lot that is not included in the marriage.
Right.
That leaves it vulnerable to whatever come along can have a place to cause a division. But my foundation is family.
Yes.
Y'all got to stop hitting this table because it comes through on the mic.
Huh?
Y'all got to stop hitting this table because it comes through on the mic.
Yeah. It's family. Second is the offspring of the family. And of course, Jesus is always first.
Yes.
Always first.
Yes.
And when that is there, you see a legacy that you're building. Yes. And if you love your family, you're going to nurture that family. And you're going to endure the hardships or whatever comes against.
Yes.
Because the outcome is worth your endurance than the giving up.
Right.
Yes.
Because you don't want to live 6 to 7 years and look back and see your family scattered.
That's so true.
And you know, that's what scares me is that I'm going to hit 70, I'm going to hit 80, and Kenna, you ain't going to find me no husband. I'm going to blame you.
Blame me.
And I won't have a husband.
I told Kim she's going to need a preacher in her life. That's her problem.
A preacher?
Preacher, yeah. She's going to need a preacher in her life
because
she's not ready for the common man.
She's going to
need a strong, dominating preacher in her life that's going to help her,
somebody
show her the way.
Show
her the way.
Let me say this to Brother Kenner. I just think that was a great illustration you give of the ministry you have at the church.
Yes, sir.
Is taking time.
Right.
With couple.
Yes, sir.
And nurturing them.
Yes, sir.
The way that you know that and feel that it should go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what we don't have in a lot of our Christian life practice today.
Yes, sir.
We don't have that model.
Yes, sir.
And that's very neat. I want you to keep that up.
Yes, sir.
Because that's something that God loves.
Yes, sir.
God endorsed,
yes, sir.
And the Holy Spirit can use to help any couple maintain their marriage.
Man, I agree with that.
Yeah. And so, you know, I want y'all to know that marriage, even though I'm single, I can see the benefit.
Yes.
I see the benefit. I see it with my family.
Yes.
You know, I just keep saying, it's that leap. It's that leap. Because I was just telling my mother the other day, I said, you know, Romeo ain't showed up on my doorstep. I'm sorry. All this wonderful, we going to meet up and be wonderful together. Maybe it's me. I'm picking some duds or something. They like, you know how you had a firecrackers and they just don't take it. They don't pop. But that's another show. Okay, so it's good to hear that with those fragile families that there is something out there, something available to convert the families to strong families. And what I heard you all say is that it takes a strong family to help build strong families.
Yes.
And if there is anyone out there who's in ministry, who's a counselor, who has a coach, or you know, or even couples out there that are looking like, how do we get this thing together? I think that would be a very good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
Finding a strong family to model.
Yes.
And they are around. I mean, even though I'm not married, I'm going to say this too. The other reason why I ain't married is because I see a strong family, mm-hmm. and I'm not willing to accept something less than that.
Right.
I'm not willing to accept anything less than that because mm-hmm. I've seen it modeled in my grandparents. I've seen it modeled in my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it modeled in you all. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that we that single people also be able to look and find those strong families. So if you are a strong family, if you, like Angelica said, I'm 21 years in, and you know, all these families, husband and wives that have been married for a long time, consider what was being said here, because our community needs you.
They need you.
Yes.
Okay, so Kenneth, this one is for you. This one is for you because I am always at a loss. It just seems like you find women who are seeking a husband. And I know why, because we need some help.
Yes.
We ain't really built to do this thing by ourselves.
Absolutely.
You know, we ain't built that way. We start falling apart when we have to go work every day and all that. Start legs start our body start falling apart. See, men can work till the day is over. You know, my daddy used to work all day, come home and then work again in the yard.
Yeah.
You know,
strong man.
Shoot, I barely making it. You know, so what is it? What's going on in our community where it seems like men are turned off from marriage? While at the same time, they are so needed. Can you help us?
Answer that question and everything, because we run across it all the time. Oftentimes, we're talking to men and asking them, why are they married? I know a lot of single guys, and I ask them, why are they not married? They have a bunch of excuses. There's not a lot of good women out here. I don't never run across a lot of good women. But our job as the husbands and the men is to set an example.
Mm-hmm.
Show these men that, hey, God designed you for a purpose. Your purpose was to go find a woman, not the woman come find you.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Oh, can you? Hallelujah. Can you say that one again?
Our job is to go find a wife, not the wife come find them. You know. And so that's what the problem is. Guys are so lazy now. And sorry about this, women. I'm finna make the statement. Y'all, I'm sorry about this. Women make it too easy for
guys
nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, guys can go lay up on a woman, you know, live with her. He don't have to work. He can drive her car, drop her off at work. She makes it so easy for a guy that why would he want to be married when it's so easy? He can go leave this woman and go to the next one. Women have to start making it more harder on these guys and not making it easier for them. Because once they make it easy for these guys, then guess what? They don't want
to
do anything.
Yeah.
Why should
they
I
don't
be
have
married?
To do anything.
They have this mentality, why buy the milk when I already have the cow? What kind of attitude is that?
That's old saying, but it has stood the test of time.
And so we're trying to motivate the guys. No. You got to, the Bible says we got to work by the sweat of our brow.
Mm-hmm.
Not lay up on a woman by the sweat of our brow. We've got to get out here and work. So we're trying to get the guys motivated again to work again, get back out in the mainstream of society, and do the right thing, you know. So that's what our problem is. That's what we're running across nowadays. It's so easy for men to have a relationship now. It's so easy for men to jump from woman to woman to woman. He can get her pregnant, go to the next one. Get her pregnant, go to the next one. See, he can leave, but the woman is stuck with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So our job is to show the men, say, look, guy, this is where God designed you. You're a Christian. You say you're a Christian. God designed you to work. Be out there, be productive, get you a wife, get you a family, and get back into mainstream society. That's why a lot of these single parents, I applaud single parents today, because they have to do it all. They have to take care of the kid, go to work, and do all this stuff, while lazy men are out here just living off the fat of the land.
Wow.
So we've got to reverse this curse that is put on the young men here in America. We got to reverse this curse as men and get back out here and do it God's way.
Yeah.
And if we start doing it God's way, then we can start seeing that. We were talking about this on the way over here. Then we can start seeing it the way God. When I came up old school, majority of the men in our neighborhood were married. We had family. We had community.
Yeah.
And the community strived. Yeah. The community was doing good. But when we got to the 21st century, my generation, we dropped the ball.
Yeah.
We started wanting to lay up on women now, started wanting to do our own thing, started wanting to, you know, just be independent and not being married. And then guess what? Now our children are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Now our children are suffering
absolutely.
Because of that.
And you know what? After you get a certain age, you can't run the street.
Yes, right. Sure can. Sure can.
Right.
So we're trying,
it don't look cute to be the man, the old man sitting at the bar.
Right.
That's not cute.
No, not anymore.
That's not cute, y'all. That's not cute.
We're trying to reverse the curse now, Kim, and trying to get men back in the way. We have a men's conference. We have a men's fellowship once a month now where we're trying to get men back in the mold,
mm-hmm.
doing it God's way,
mm-hmm.
and that's the best way. And we're starting to do that now. Now we're starting to mentor our teenagers now, starting to mentor our young men now, starting to get them back on track.
Right.
And that's the only way we're going to do it. One person at a time, one man at a time, one young man at a time. If we can take one man and save him, then we can save maybe a generation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So our job is to start back and doing it the way God designed it.
Yeah.
Get these men back on track. Get them at thinking the way God designed it. The Bible says, whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
So we got to get the man to start thinking right.
Yeah.
If we get him thinking right, guess what? Then they start acting right.
Mm-hmm.
Then they won't be so vulnerable to everything that's out here.
Yeah.
So that's what we got to do. Yeah. We got to get the man back on track.
That's so good. You know, we're talking about marriage and family. And, you know, I want y'all to know, this is a show about mental health.
Yes.
Because when I have seen this, where men come into counseling sessions because they've been out there and they've done anything and everything, and now they're having to deal with the repercussions of all that. Don't nobody like them, don't nobody want to be around them, and they don't have no friends. And so it's okay, Abrams Carpet Care, you want to shout out? I hear you, my brother. I hear you. And so so I see these men come in to the counseling sessions, and sometimes, you know, they've been out there and they end up with diseases.
Yes.
All right, y'all, that's it for the live show. My phone done went dead, so I told y'all it wasn't going to last. If you want to be a part of this show and you want to continue to listen, I need you to go to www.youbettercallkim.com. This is a good show. It's a good conversation. And you can listen to it. You can't look at us, but you can listen to us. And also, I want you to call in because it's important. I want to hear from you. Abrams Carpet Cleaning. I want to hear from you. The number is 214-717-4678. You are a newlywed, and you may have something you want to offer to this conversation. So call in. Again, the number is 214-717-4678. As I was saying, these men come into the counseling sessions, and their life, they either don't have no support, and that's the reason why they're depressed, or they have so much anger and resentment about whatever pain they've had, whatever stuff they've gone through. And after we start taking off the layers,
right,
a lot of the stuff they brought on themselves. And this is not just men.
Absolutely.
This is women.
Absolutely.
And men.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And you know, you wonder, like, what would their life have been different if they had made that choice early?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you start talking to them, and they're like, yeah, there was this one girl, or there was this one lady that I probably should have. You know, I should have kept that one, but I wanted to chase the street. You know, I want to go see. I like the show about Martin. Martin say they waiting for the freak machine to come. They waiting for the Mothership Connection to show up. They didn't want to get married because they was waiting for the Mothership Connection to show up. And it never did show up.
Yeah.
And now they are in their late 40s, in their 50s, sometimes their 60s, and they have all these life regrets.
Mm-hmm.
And when they look back on it, it starts right where that first decision could have been made and should have been made, that I was going to change my life and take on the responsibility that God gave me, take on the lifestyle that God gave me. I told you all in the audience, in the listening audience, and y'all here, I told them once that a godly life is a mentally healthy life.
Yes.
It is
a healthy life.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Anything other than that is going to bring a lot of strife and lack of peace and unsettlement.
Yes.
But when you make a decision that you are going to live a Christian life based on Christian values, you're going to do things a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't think it's mentally healthy to do that, the end result would get you to a place of mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes.
I don't know what you've been reading or what you've been doing or what rock you've been living under.
Mm-hmm, true.
That's true.
You know, every song that's being sang and on the radio is about overcoming, living a good life.
Yeah.
I made it through.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about mental health.
It is.
We don't all, you know, we don't have to be diagnosed with some major psychotic disease in order for us to connect with mental health.
Right, right, right.
You just said something interesting, Kim, when you said we don't have to be diagnosed with anything. But I think that's what our culture believes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what our society believes, that if a doctor hadn't put a label on it, then I must be okay. But a lot of times we do suffer from depression. You may not suffer from post-traumatic
stress syndrome.
Yeah, you may not have that. You may not even suffer from postpartum depression. But you do suffer from some form of depression, but we feel like, since I haven't put that place that label, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we just kind of I'm gonna be okay.
Under the rug.
And you're really struggling, and you know, in our marriages and all of that, because we are suffering with a lot of stuff that we unresolved issues that we never discussed or we've never dealt with. We just, because like you said, you know, in our culture, what was done in the house, stay in the house.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just been the stigma for us growing up all our lives, but that wasn't healthy for us.
Right.
And all this stuff that we've changed in our society, in our lifestyle, has not helped us.
Yeah.
It has harmed us. You know, like I say, you know, when I was growing up, my mom was like, you need to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she told me, I got to be a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
I can't depend on nobody else to take care of me.
Right.
You know, that was the message I got. Well, the flip side of that coin was, I was going to be working my butt off.
Right.
You know, I'm like, okay, let's flip that coin over and look at both sides when you're telling me these messages so I can choose which message I want to use, you know, for my life. And so I think, you know, I think that's important that we really kind of identify that this conversation that we're having is about mental health.
It is.
You know, I was thinking when you was talking, saying, Bita, you know, there's these, and when you look at the DSM, what is it, the Diagnostic Manual Statistic, whatever, I can't think of what you call it. But the DSM is the manual we use in a mental health profession to diagnose mental illness or mental things, mental problems. But there's also what they call a V-code.
Mm-hmm.
And those codes are used for any kind of issue that's causing you not to be able to function. Just function.
Right.
And family problem, family distress is a V code.
Absolutely.
Because I tell you, family distress, white husband and wife strife, can cause you not to be able to function.
Exactly.
You go to work, you can't concentrate.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Absolutely.
And so we got to get it right.
We
got
to
get it right.
And Kim, what frees up our couples is we try to get them to be free at home and be transparent with one another and not walk around on eggshells.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of couples that scared when they get home. They can't say this. I can't say that. I might hurt my wife's feeling. I might hurt my husband's feeling. I might hurt the children's feeling. So we're trying to get them to have a dialogue every week.
Mm-hmm.
Go out once a week and have a dialogue with each other and talk to each other and be transparent with each other. What can I say? What can I not say? Not hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to that point now where it's easing them up. Where every week we can talk about each other. We can bring the issues to the table.
Mm-hmm.
We can be open and say, okay, I didn't like the way you talk this way. Okay, how can I handle that?
Mm-hmm.
How would you want me to talk? And this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And guess what? When it's easing the husband and wife up, now the children are relieved now.
Wow.
Because they don't hear mom, dad, arguing, fussing, and fighting anymore.
Ooh, yeah.
Now the family can be a little bit more freer now because guess what? Mom and dad is not stressed out anymore. So we can unstress mom and them. Guess what? That filters down to the children.
Yes, it does.
Now the children are free to come and ask mom and dad anything now. Because guess what? They're not stressed. They're not strained up anymore. So if we can ever get the family freed up, the husband and wife freed up, then the children can be free come and ask the parent, "Parent, I was bullied today at school. Mom, I was bullied at school today." But if they're frustrated and they're stressed out, kid can't tell mom anything. So now that's what they're doing. And now they're seeing like, wow, our children are coming to us now and telling us things that happened to them at school like never before. Because now mom is open and dad is open now to free up with the conversation. So that's what we're trying to do now, to get the family back into the flow of things where we can be mentally stable so we all can come together at the table and talk about some issues.
Because
a
lot of times we just tell them, we try to give them a fall back in love with your person. Think about when you were dating, or when we were just trying to get to know each other. You was excited about seeing that person. You
glad to come home.
You was now you hang up. You hang up.
I'll be home in a minute, Doc. Yeah. I'm gonna run the red light to get home to my wife. You know, to my husband. You know, you know. But we've lost that first love. I'll take my time. I'm gonna take the long way home now. I don't want to get home right now. I'm making a bunch of excuses up to not get home.
Right.
But we got to change that, flip the script, and change that now to get the family back into the flow of mental health. So that's what we got to try to do.
Yeah. As y'all were talking, I was thinking about a situation I had working with a family once, and the youngest kid, I think he couldn't have been no more than 10 years old. He told the mom and the dad, he said, "You know, in our family, we use the word trust negative, in a negative way." He said, "It's always used like, I don't trust you,"
right,
or "I can't trust you." He said, "We don't even try to use it in a positive way." 10 years old. And it was like, here I am, the therapist, and I just sat back. I was like, "Well, y'all go on, take care of this problem."
That's the son, that's the son counsel, y'all.
I'm like, "Y'all go on, take care of this problem." And I, as you were saying that, I was really kind of visualizing that you're right. When cause kids gonna feel it.
Exactly.
They feel that strife going on. They feel that mom and dad is not getting along, or mom is sad because dad ain't coming home at night.
Right.
You know, they feel it. And so I think that, you know, when you go in and it's good to find a good couple like you two who, couples can connect with. I want to give their website out, and then we're going to go to a commercial break. You know, we have all our commercials that we have to play at the quarter till up on the last 7 minutes. And so we're going to go to a commercial break. But I want you all to get this information and write it down. I'm going to give you a minute to get a pen and a piece of paper. And that website is www.davidsonintervention.com. Davidsonintervention.com. And they have all the information about how to get in touch with them. And they, you know, they do workshops. They do, they even come into your home.
Absolutely.
They come into your home. I don't know no therapist that's brave enough, I don't know, go up in your house and start talking to you about your issues. You know, they come into your home and they are very patient and they're very loving.
Praise the Lord.
And they know how to work with couples and families to do exactly what you say, to open them up.
Yes.
And to get them back to a place of communication so that they are able to live in a very healthy and whole life. So we're going to take a couple of breaks. We're going to listen to a few ads and we're going to come back and finish this conversation. So again, if you are anywhere near your computer, your phone's about to go dead and you've been listening, I want you to go to www.youbettercallkim.com. Listen to this broadcast tonight. And for those of you who have anything to want to share, if this resonates with you, call in. That number is 214-717-4670. And remember, this is your girl.
Hey, what's going on?
You better call Kim.
Some of you know me as a sarcastic Christian. Well, it's no longer an inside joke because now you know. Anyways, straight from the heart, coming to you every Monday evening from 9 to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. So do the math if you on the Pacific, or you on the Mountain Time, or the East Coast Time. Jump in on FishbowlRadioNetwork.com.
Back in my day, we advertised like men. Get up on the rooftop and use what we called lung power.
Come and get it!
Nowadays, they got what's called the internet. It goes worldwide. And on this internet is what's called fishbowlradio.com, a network of over 100 personality-driven radio shows. Now, that's a lot of lung power. Sounds like a good way to get the word out about your business. Call them, 817-633-4880, and jump in.
It could happen at any time. If you were affected by the hailstorms this year, a collision could bring you and your family to a halt from getting your vehicle repaired for free. We're here to help. Let us get your hail damage done with no hassle, no time off work, and no time away from your family. It's a free service, so take advantage today. Give us a call at 469-774-4498, 469-774-4498, or visit us at AutoHailConsulting.com today.
Introducing the Ferrero Rocher cupcakes loaded with luscious layers of sweet goodness coated over dark chocolate cake made with the freshest and finest ingredients to make you say, holy cupcake. Voted top three cupcakes in the DFW area. Wondering where you can get these sweet chocolatey goodies? Where else but Lay Cupcake and Treats? Call us now, 682-999-8276. That's 682-999-8276. Or visit us on our Facebook and Instagram at Lay Cupcake and Treats, where we make life sweeter.
Toss Catering and Event Productions is a full-service catering and special events company that delivers a fresh, fun, and interactive experience. Led by Fernando J. Asensio, Toss Catering and Event Production combines a superb taste, unique presentation, and interactive services to create unforgettable events and memorable experiences. Their passion for food and avant-garde thinking sets them apart and has won them awards and recognition, along with the trust of their clients, from which they cater to on a regular basis. Visit www.tosscatering.com today. Toss Catering and Event Production creates the best experience for all your catering needs.
Customize your gear today with Ochuck. Ochuck provides top-of-the-line printing for all of your merchandising needs. From custom Chuck Taylors to t-shirts, sweatshirts, and even lanyards, they customize it all. Visit them at the Parks Mall in Arlington, Texas, or at www.ochuck.com. That's O-H-C-H-U-C-K.com. Create a custom experience today with Ochuck. You think it, they'll ink it.
Fishbowl Radio Network. FBRN.UM. Jump in.
Hey, 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 we are back. And this is your girl, You Better Call Kim. And I'm going to take one more break here because I have someone in the studio that's trying to talk to me. And y'all know I don't do too good trying to talk and run a show. So I'm going to take another break. I'm going to play one of my favorite songs called When Jesus Say Yes. And so give me one more minute and we'll be right back.
No, I can't take one more step towards you. Cause all this weight. No, I can't take one more step towards you. Cause all this waiting.
show, you better call Kim, every Thursday night from 9 p.m. till 11. This show is an entertaining, lighthearted discussion about mental health issues we face every day. So if you're stressed, need a listening ear, or just want to get it off your chest, remember, you better call Kim. And don't forget to tune in every Thursday night from 9 p.m. until 11 in the Red Stream with your girl, Kim.
On FishbowlRadioNetwork.com. Jump in.
Hey, 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 you better call Kim. We're back, and we are going to have about 55 minutes left in this show, and so we want to try to get all of the good stuff in and talk about more something that's really, really hard to talk about, which is intimacy in marriage, because we talked about all of the what makes the marriage, why the marriage has to work, and what makes the marriage work, and you know, how we need older couples to kind of teach the younger couples what the marriage look like, and so forth and so on. But intimacy is also a big, big issue when it comes to marriage. 'Cause, one, if you're not communicating right, and you ain't talking to me right, you ain't gonna get none.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the truth. You said it. Yeah, that's the truth.
Okay. The store will be closed.
Yes.
And so first, of course, communication is a part of intimacy, mm-hmm. and it happens before you get into the bedroom.
Exactly.
Because, you know, when you're a soft person and you know how to romance somebody, you know, everything else kind of fall into place.
Right.
But then you also have these other issues that come up with men and their dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to call it erectile dysfunction.
That's it.
They don't even like me to say it. They don't like me to say it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a therapist, so I get
erectile.
To just say whatever it is.
Dysfunction sounds great.
Erectile dysfunction
sounds
if they
great.
Say it on the television, we can say it in the
yeah,
studio.
Yeah, but dysfunction
right.
okay,
sounds
dysfunction.
Great.
So, you know, you have that issue. We're getting to the point now where you have more and more men that are diagnosed with diabetes and all kinds of issues that affect their ability to perform. And so that becomes a strain on the marriage.
Yes.
Of course, women who become menopausal, and we all know that you go through that phase as women
mm-hmm.
who are menopausal where you ain't just, the idea of it just drains you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only a performance. And so there's no romance that you, I don't even know how you can get romantic when you're going through that kind of stuff. And then the other issue with the children,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to have, being overloaded, having overload and not able to get to that place of intimacy. So how do you all coach families and couples through that?
Well, I tell guys this all the time. I tell guys this. I said, think about this. A happy wife makes a happy home. And our job is to try and convey over to our wives that she is the best thing happened to us since Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell guys this. Think about it like that. Mm-hmm. And if you think about your wife as if she's been the best thing happened to you since Jesus, you're going to treat her like the queen that she is. And like you said, romance starts way before the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
you know. I start out early that morning working on my wife. She knows what I'm up to. I call her in the morning and tell her how beautiful she looks. I call her throughout the day and text her, girl, you know, I'm sitting here at the desk. I'm thinking about you. I tell her at lunchtime, girl, I can't do lunch without you, you know. And so all throughout the day, I'm telling her throughout the day how she looks, how
she
acts.
Go get some help. I think we just went down.
How she looks, how she acts, how she is.
You may keep talking. Yes. And so that's what we're all about. We're about romancing our wives throughout the day. So if it happens when we get ready to come home that evening, we're already ready. Right. We're already prepared. We already got our mindset on what we're going to do because I've told her throughout the day how much I'm thinking of her, how much she's a part of my life. Mm-hmm. I can't function without you this week, this month, this year.
Mm.
So by me telling her all of that, you know, when we get home, you know, it's automatic. It's almost mm-hmm. automatic.
Yeah.
But you got to put that in her spirit. You got to mm-hmm. put it into her heart and mm-hmm. let her know that throughout the day, you know, while you're working, guess what? Your husband is thinking about you.
Wow.
While you're doing your job, guess what? Your husband is thinking about you because he mm-hmm. just sent you a text. He just called you on the phone. He just, you know, hit you for lunch, you know, and just told you all mm-hmm. of this thing. Even when I'm on my way home, babe, how's everything going? You know, at the same time, I'm telling her all of this.
Mm-hmm.
She's feeling it in her spirit. Then when I get home, guess what? It's automatic.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do now is just, you know, add tip of the iceberg when you get home.
Uh-huh.
You just have to add all that up. But it comes by, you know, romancing. It comes by talking to her. It comes by mm-hmm. pointing to her spirit, letting her know that she is the queen that mm-hmm. she's supposed to be. She is wonderfully and fearfully made. Mm-hmm. Our job is to tell her that.
Okay, so now he make all this sound real good, Ms. LaVita.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. LaVita Davidson.
Yes.
Does that really work?
You know what? I'm going to say yes, it does. It really does. And I'm going to say a but too, so I probably just canceled out that. The but part that I'm talking about is if we both work, and I'm talking about mm-hmm. when I work, if both right. of us are working,
yes.
he has to make my load lighter that we talked about. So if there are kids involved, go ahead and put the kids to bed early.
Yes.
You take the initiative to
yes.
do it as the husband.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You go ahead and say, babe, don't worry about dinner tonight. I got it. I'm going to bring home dinner because I'm tired just like you are.
Absolutely.
So to me, intimacy is mental for women.
Yes,
so
it is.
Mental
and physical
for
men. That's right.
Physical
oh, wow.
for men and
yes,
mentally for
that's
us.
That's right.
So I have to mentally prepare myself
yes,
for that.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. if he's making my load lighter and pointing to me all day, of course, you know, yeah, it's on.
Mm-hmm.
But if he pointing to me and then I still have to come home and
cook clean, sew, and iron,
it's hard.
That cancels out everything.
Yeah,
that cancels out everything.
It does.
Yeah, I hope y'all are getting this because
yes.
this stuff is free. Y'all
yes.
ain't having to pay for this one. But when I tell you this is worth some money, this
yes,
one is worth some money, okay?
Yes, it is.
Thursday
yes.
therapy, y'all.
Yes.
Thursday therapy.
Yes.
Kim, you mentioned something earlier. You said when communication is down, the intimacy, the store is closed. There's nothing happening.
Yes, that's so true.
But you know what? I had to realize and learn, and I'm just talking to the Christian women right now. I had to realize and learn that biblically that wasn't scripture.
Yeah.
Because in
1 Corinthians 7, chapter 7, around the 7, 8, 9
yeah.
verse.
It says, my body no longer
belongs to
me,
mm-hmm.
but
it belongs to
Kenan.
Right.
And Kenan's body no longer belongs to him,
but
it belongs to me.
Yeah.
We have to stop depriving one another
yes.
as a part of prayer and supplication.
Yes.
So I think that's what we do because,
yeah.
like you said, we've grown up that way to, girl, you know, he acting crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Just
don't cut him out.
Cut him out. But I'm saying as a Christian, we can't behave that way.
Yeah.
We can't behave yeah. that way. And I think that's the breakdown, too, because even mm-hmm. Christian-wise, we still do that. I'm saying that
mm-hmm.
we'll, girl, shoot, if he don't make me mad, I'm not going to give him up.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's going back to, we got to talk about, okay, what did he do to make you mad to make
mm-hmm.
allow you to feel that way?
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah. Well, wow.
Work through it.
I don't even know what to say about that. I don't even know how to respond to that.
You can't argue with the Bible.
I got to tell you, boy, it sounds real good.
It is.
Ooh, but I'm looking at her like, Lord, that would have to be difficult. That would be really difficult. But you know what? We was talking about this in one of my classes recently, and they were talking about how this happens with a lot of couples.
Yes,
couples come
mm-hmm.
in and they that control, one person is trying to control
right.
the other situation, mm-hmm. control the other person,
mm-hmm.
and they're using their body
right.
as a way to control
exactly.
the situation
right.
and how unfair and how that really is a very destructive reaction to the marriage.
It
and
is.
So I want y'all to know out there that it's not necessarily you doing, somebody has done something to you or that you doing something that's good for yourself. that is based out of control.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, because Kim, you said earlier on in the when you were talking about relationships, you were talking about how men, the things that they've done, the consequences for some of their behaviors,
mm-hmm.
and not just men, I'm just saying women, a lot of times because of the deprived, we've deprived each other from the intimacy mm-hmm. part, that causes us to do, and we're trying to justify
yeah.
because of this. And like you said, that's not healthy.
It's not healthy at all.
And I'm trying to justify, yeah, Kendall had to say this. This other guy talking to me at work, and, you know, he treated me, he talking to me nicer. So I go to lunch with him, and, you know, next thing you know, that could lead to something.
Yeah.
And it's like, I done messed up. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. And that's why I say that's going forward to being mentally. We have to mentally prepare ourselves and communicate that with one another.
Yeah.
We have to.
And we have this scripture that we use on Philippians 4. It says, be not selfish, conceit, empty gain, but treat one another the way you would want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is not be selfish if I want my wife not to be selfish.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Our job is to treat her like I want to be treated.
Exactly.
If we can get that, that's one of the golden rules. You know, mm-hmm. do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah.
And as a couple, as a husband, as a wife, I want to treat my wife better than she treats
mm-hmm.
me. And then vice versa. My wife wants to treat me better than I treat her.
Right.
And guess what? We're doing mm-hmm. that now. And guess what? It builds up to nothing but just intimacy mm-hmm. in a powerful way.
Yeah.
When we're both trying our hardest to treat each other better than the other ones, it's almost like a competition.
It is.
She can't treat me better than I can treat her.
Yeah.
I can't treat him better than I can treat her. And it's just a battle.
I did it.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? At the end of the day, we're just loving it because we've mm-hmm. treated each other so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember
and everybody benefits. Everybody benefits from it.
The
wife benefits, the husband, the children benefit
everybody.
From it. Because
everybody.
Guess what? If you got a happy home, that is a great environment.
It is.
My son will tell you, he's 19 years old now, he'll tell you, I can't remember my mother and daddy fighting maybe one time.
Right.
Maybe arguing one time.
Right.
In his whole 19 years of his life.
Yeah.
Because we never did let him see that.
Mm-hmm.
We wasn't putting on the facade.
Mm-hmm.
We never let him see that our issues.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't his issues. He didn't have to come into the world.
Exactly.
So his job was to see a great marriage or a good looking marriage, or maybe he thought it was a good looking marriage.
Uh-huh.
Maybe he saw a marriage and said,
mm-hmm.
well, guess what?
I want to get married.
I want somebody like my mom.
Exactly.
You know, I want somebody like my mom because she treated my daddy great.
Right.
My daddy, you know, and children need to see that.
Yes, they
if they can see their parents doing good, their mama's doing good, dad's doing good, guess what? That goes wrong. That
mm-hmm.
goes wrong with the kids.
It does.
And the kids wouldn't mind being married.
Exactly.
You know, because my mama had a good marriage. My dad had a good marriage.
Yeah, that's you know, as you saying that, I got this crazy internal thought that I know it's unhealthy,
okay.
So let me just put it out there. I know this is unhealthy, but it was a thought that I have to put it out there.
Okay,
so as you were saying that, I was wondering, so whose responsibility is it to create this happy marriage? I know it's both of them, but I think from women's perspective, we kind of feel like it's the man's responsibility.
I agree with you. I agree with you so much.
To make a good marriage.
God designed a man. He said, Adam, I'm putting you in charge of everything.
Yeah.
Even your wife. And then when everything went wrong, who did he go to? He didn't go to Eve.
He didn't go to Eve.
He said, Adam, where were you when she got deceived?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know where she was out there talking. No. Where were you?
Exactly.
So you're right. It is the man's job.
It is.
I was thinking that.
I challenge my men all the time in our premarital conference. I challenge our guys all the time. I say, you set you up a plan right now. Show
mm-hmm.
your wife where you're going, what direction you're on, what purpose you want to lead this marriage, and see where she fits in that.
Yeah.
And then let her see if she wants to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
If she don't want to be a part of that, you have to come up with another plan.
Exactly.
What you got to do, you got to show this wife, woman right here, right now, girl, this is where I see our marriage is going to take off like this. I see where you're going to come alongside,
mm-hmm.
help this marriage work. Do you like that? If she doesn't like it, don't get mad.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to the drawing board and do it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And come up with a plan that she likes.
Exactly.
And she
my cousin got a good hug.
Praise the Lord.
I'm
20 years.
I'm happy for her, you know.
Yeah.
I am happy for her.
So, Kim, you're right.
Show us how it works.
That's a man's job.
You know, because
I think
that as women, we get that mixed up because just as I was thinking that, I'm like, okay, am I supposed to think of it that way?
Yeah.
But I couldn't help internally but to say, wait a minute, who's responsible?
Because
you know what, we as women, I don't care how much we think we have control,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
we really only have so much control.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And I can't envision women being able to convince a man to come along and do what they need
right.
them to do,
mm-hmm.
and they just fall in line.
No,
but
right.
I know for a fact that a man can convince a woman.
Yes, hallelujah. Yes.
And she just going to fall in line and keep it moving.
If it sounds great and he shows her that this can work, if we both come together,
right.
walk beside the Lord, this can work.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got to put it in the spirit. I convinced Levita a long time ago. I told a whole bunch of stuff. I'm still trying to do some of that stuff. I told her, girl, I can see you to the moon. Stick with me, girl. We're going places. Guess what? She bleed all that stuff. Oh, that sounds good. I'm going to go alongside because this rascal sounds like he know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So now, you know, I'm still trying it, though, but guess what?
Yeah.
She's still walking beside me.
Yeah.
We're still trying to make that thing happen.
Yeah.
But I convinced her that the plan I got with God, it can work.
Uh-huh. Daddy, you better say something.
I want to ask a question. What is the challenge that men give you that
pick up the mic.
Prevent what you're saying happen. Other word, I'm hearing that being one of the sources that men took to dominate.
Yeah. And what happens is lack of faith with that, what you're talking about. See, because this ain't going to work just by you guessing at it. You got to have the faith to believe that God built in us the DNA, that we can lead, that we can control, that we can be in charge, that we can bring our wives alongside of us and make this thing work. But if you try to do it on your own, then that's when control comes in at. You know, but you've got to be, I tell a woman, if your husband is not following the Lord, don't be trying to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not following Jesus, and he's going somewhere else, don't follow that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not biblical. The Bible says, you know, God is head of Christ. Christ is head of the church. And every man is head of following Christ. So that's our job, to follow Jesus. And then if my wife still following Jesus, guess what? She said, that rascal's going the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's following somebody else.
Right.
Instead of him leading on his own, going out there doing his own thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what our job is as a husband, is to say, okay, baby, I'm trying to follow Jesus. So I guess we can't go wrong if we're trying to follow Jesus. And if we do go wrong, guess what? Jesus can help us get back on the right track. So she sees that, me praying, me doing the Bible study, me doing everything else. She's like, this guy's going on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's trying to do it the right way, you see? So that's where the leadership part comes in at.
Mm-hmm.
Me following somebody else and not me saying, hey, you just follow me and I go my own way.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So our job as husbands is to be following Christ.
Right.
If we're following Christ, he's going to lead us in the right direction. Our job is to take initiative and
mm-hmm.
follow him
mm-hmm.
and try to set the pace.
Because you just said something. I'm sorry, Kent. Kenny, you said lead. Because at first it was almost, when you control or when you're ahead of that person,
right.
it's not controller, dominant. He's
yes.
not the superior
mm-hmm.
over
yes.
you, like the authority figure.
Mm-hmm.
He's the person that God is holding responsible.
Right.
And I think once you understand that that's what his role is,
mm-hmm.
you understand what your role is. Like Kenny said, if Kenny was just going zigzag. Mm-hmm. We don't know what direction we're going in. Why would I follow that? Why
exactly.
would I do that? Why,
exactly.
That don't make sense.
Exactly. And remember, my question was, whose responsibility is it
yes.
to create this
right.
utopia
yes.
in the home?
Exactly.
Whose responsibility
that's
is
right.
that? Because
the man.
I think that is what gets mixed up.
It is.
I still really believe it. I think men look for women.
Yeah.
To create this utopia
right.
in the home.
Right.
And I think women take on the responsibility.
Absolutely.
Because they think that somehow that's going to keep that man
mm-hmm.
and make that man be more loving, more
right.
giving. But it's just a burden.
It is.
Yes, it
oh,
is.
Lord, I felt that one.
That you wasn't built to carry.
That you, exactly.
You wasn't built to carry
that
one.
So true.
You wasn't built to carry that
and
one.
And so mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing to get women and men to understand that this utopia is possible.
Yes,
uh-huh.
it is.
This place of love, peace, and happiness is possible.
Yes.
When the two people are functioning in the role with the responsibility
yes.
that God has given them.
Yes.
And that, you know, you look in here, you are depressed, lonely, mad about the world, mad because, you know, you've been dealt a bad hand
yeah.
and all these things that have come against you and you traumatized from this one and that one and this one, all kinds of mental health stuff going on
yes.
with you. And so you get into a relationship with somebody and you spend your time, your energy trying to make the relationship work. And I'm talking
yeah,
about women.
Yeah.
Trying to make it work. Trying to hold on. Trying
mm-hmm.
to be the rock for the husband
mm-hmm.
and her. Man, you just messed yourself up.
Exactly.
Set yourself up for failure.
Sure did.
You set yourself up for failure. And then, somehow we got to get these women to understand that if we can start walking in our place,
right,
maybe somebody will see that, and we will attract the person who is already walking in their place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because a man that's walking in his position ain't going to be attracted to a woman who ain't walking in her position.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
If he knows his position, and here you are coming around all out of bounds, he going to be like, oh, no.
Because a lot of guys don't like challenges. And that's what we run across today. It's so many dominating women, so many women that has their own careers, that's doing their own thing, and that's a beautiful thing that they're doing. And guys are intimidated by coming in trying to, you know, help, you know, guide the situation in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel a little bit more inferior to that. And a lot of guys say, I want a dominating woman. I want a woman that's in charge. No, you don't want that.
No.
Because you can't handle it. If you're not built for that, it will drive you crazy.
Exactly.
You know. But our job is to come alongside and let the woman know, say, look, that's okay what you're doing that on your career. That's great.
Right.
But when you come into the home, hey, kind of bring that down a little bit and come on and let's do this thing together and make this marriage take off like never before.
And you know what?
Together we stand, divided we fall.
But I think most women want that. I honestly believe that most women, let me just say this, if they already know that this load on their shoulders is too heavy to bear.
Yeah.
They already know it.
Yes.
They just don't know how to put it down. They don't know how to do it. And so, go back to my question, well, whose responsibility is it? I think it's the man's responsibility to show. I keep saying, if somebody just showed up one day and said to me, hey, Kim, how can I help? How can I help you? Not coming saying, oh, you know, I need this and I need that, and I can't do that because I ain't got this and I ain't got that. I ain't trying to hear that. I'm telling you right now, you done lost Kim from day one. I ain't even trying to hear that because I got enough on my shoulder.
Right.
I ain't trying to pick up nobody else's mess.
Right, right.
So I'm running the other
direction. Babysit. You don't have time to babysit.
I don't have no time to babysit.
That's right.
But very rarely, are men stepping up and saying and coming to women with that kind of a position, in that kind of a role, because they're intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
They looking at, oh, she got a house. Oh, she has this. And oh,
career,
she has that career.
She's
too high maintenance.
CEO, yeah.
You know, all those things. And not even considering the fact that, man, she would love for a real brother to show up and say, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do you need today?
Yes.
Right.
You've been out hustling and serving and caring all the way. Yes. What do you need today?
Yes. Right.
Yes.
So that's another free one for the listening audience. Another free one. If you by yourself, man, you at home listening to this at 10:30, and you by yourself, and you trying to figure out why am I by myself, I'm going to give you a hookup line.
Mm-hmm.
Walk up to the woman that you believe God has sent for you, and instead of going in with, hey, what's your digits? What's your 10 digits?
10 digits now,
You know, or you sure look good or anything. How can I help you today? What can I do to make your day great?
I think, Kim, it's also a twofold. I think also the men are, if they have mothers that has done everything for them.
Oh, man.
She's, that's her baby. She's taking care of him. So when he sees this woman, even though she does have her own house, it's a nice little set up for me to just go ahead. So they see mama because it's okay for her to go ahead because that's what I'm used to. I'm used to mama doing it. So men don't have a problem with her go ahead and leading because that's what mama did. That's why I say it's a twofold. Some is fearful of it or think they want this woman, and some of them just okay. I just she can do it. But again, you're out of order. It's all out of order.
We call that role reversal. And it's hard to flip that script.
It is.
We've seen so many marriages end in divorce because the husband don't want the role. The wife is ready to get the role back up. And nobody wants to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So the husband said, okay, I'm just going to give up. I can't have it.
Yeah.
You did it for so long. You carried it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden you want to give it to me? I don't want it.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what we're seeing is this role reversal in our society. And the men are saying, hey, I don't want to deal with it. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much for me to be a man.
Right. You done done it. You've done a good job so far. So why are you want to give it back?
Exactly.
You know, but they don't see the chaos like the women do because she's sitting there being CEO now of the house. Which she wasn't designed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And all the burden comes, you know, God has designed the man to handle that burden. You know, put that every time. He won't put no more on you. God, throw it on you, throw it in you all the time. But he said, if you give it to me, I can help you better.
Uh-huh.
See, that's what our problem is. Once the burden comes to us, our job is to say, okay, Lord, okay, I had enough. Your turn now.
Mm-hmm.
And then God helps us lighten that load.
Mm-hmm.
But the woman has done it so long now, she's not used to that.
Exactly.
And it wears her out. It wears her out. And beats her down. And you see the marriage end in divorce.
Yeah.
So we start them from the start, from premarital, saying, no, sir, husband, your job is to lead. Your job is to show the wife how she can come alongside and be what? The helpmate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's her job. Her job is to helpmate.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be behind or in front. Mm-hmm. Beside your husband.
Right.
Helping your husband lead, make decisions. Sometimes she may be a better money manager. That's okay. But still, you're the overseer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come alongside and help each other. Help this home run smooth
right.
like never before. And that takes the burden off both of them, husband and a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it balances it out. Well, guess what? Our marriage can see our way through it.
Exactly.
But that's what we got to do. We got to get it into their spirit, into their psyche.
Yeah.
We reprogram the husband.
It's truly a reprogram.
Reprogramming to say, you're in charge.
There's
nothing wrong with being in charge. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with being in charge.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you, as a single woman, if you don't step up, somebody going to have to.
See?
Exactly.
See?
Somebody got to.
Absolutely.
And we have our children to take care
right.
of.
Right. Right.
And we can't afford it. We can't afford to throw in the towel.
Right. Because
we have to take care of our
right.
children.
That's right. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I applaud single parents all the time because they're doing such a great job under some tremendous pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I applaud them all the time when I see them, two or three kids, and they're doing a great job with them.
Yeah.
I applaud them because the husband has ran off and did his own thing.
Yeah.
Probably
mm-hmm.
got some other family going on now.
Yeah.
But our job now is to try to harness this thing and bring it back
to
where we can get some kind of sense into our black community and our communities, period, and get these families back on track.
Oh,
because we're way off base.
We way off base.
Way off base.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Dad?
Oh,
nothing. Yeah. We are way off base.
Yes,
we're so
we
off base that our community, our people, was a time that they really cared about what happened to our community.
Right.
That was a short, small span when society was interested mm-hmm. in the black dollar.
Right. That's true.
They were interested in the black culture.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's shifting. If y'all haven't figured it out,
yes.
it's shifting.
It is.
And now you are seeing more research being done, more marketing being done for non-black community.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And so we are almost to the point where they sitting tired of us
mm-hmm.
and all our mess.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't trying to come in and save us no more.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they shooting us dead in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need for our people in our community to understand that if we get back to the basics, which is family, then we can save our community.
We can
save our generations. We do not have to continue on this way, but it really does start with the family.
Family. Yes, it does.
It starts with the family.
Yes, it does. Rallying, unifying the family, getting everybody back on track, on one accord, you know, balancing it out. If we can see that vision again with the way God designed it, I guarantee we can see our marriages, our families, our communities take off like never before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember, you know, when you really think about our history as black people and you think about slavery, and how horrible that whole that was, you know, for us to exist, that we still was able to come together and establish family.
We were more unified.
Yes.
Even though it was
horrible. And as a result, we were able to overcome the most horrific thing that could have happened to mankind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because we, in spite of somebody owning us,
mm-hmm.
on the plantation, we were able to create that family unit.
Yes.
And when I say we got to get back to that basic, we didn't have a lot of, you know, we didn't have all these, we don't have a reason to commit suicide to these days.
Sure don't.
We don't have any reason for people to be going off on the deep end. I'm
right.
sorry.
Right.
I know life is hard.
Yeah,
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Life is hard. There's still a lot of discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of racism and and sexism and oppression. I'm not dismissing any of that.
Right.
And all of that absolutely affects one's ability to function.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have that support system you talked about in the very beginning from your family,
yes.
then you have something to live for.
You
yes.
do. You do.
Yes.
When you have your babies and your wife standing beside you saying, I need you, husband.
Yes.
I need you, wife.
Yes.
You have something to live for.
Absolutely.
You do.
So if you don't think that this is a mental health crisis,
mm-hmm.
family, the lack of family is a mental health crisis.
Yes, it is.
And so we really have to get back to that. And that starts with, like you said, creating those support systems.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Creating us. I did a whole show on support systems
yes.
a few weeks ago
yes.
because I honestly believe that whenever we start to talk about mental health, mental illness, we can't do it without talking about the support system.
Right.
And how we as a community, we as a country have to come together and start supporting one another.
Mm-hmm.
And it is those macro ways. It was those macro ways, those small little units
mm-hmm.
that we support one another in.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those small units is a family.
Yeah.
As a family.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we got to do too. We've got to, you know, we got to see it. We got to see the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to show the vision. Then we got to pour it back into our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts, like you said, with the husband and the wife and the family. And we can get the one family at a time to see the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Then catch on and then show somebody else the vision. That's what we tell our couples. Once we share with them, go back and tell somebody else.
Exactly.
There's some more couples you know. Some more couples I know that's struggling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Show them how you came out of the struggle.
Yeah.
And then how they can come out of the struggle. And if we do that, guess what? One family at a time catching on 10, 20, 30,000, 10,000, 100,000 families touching each other.
Exactly.
So don't keep it all to yourself. Just because you learn, I learn, we learn. Keep it to ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's not going to do us any good.
Exactly.
We've got to share it with other people and let other people know there is hope.
Yeah.
Don't give up hope. If you lose hope, it's all over with.
Yeah, it is.
You got to keep the hope alive, like old Jesse says. Keep
yeah,
hope alive.
Keep hope alive.
You got to, though. You got to build from that and
you
help
do.
Each other.
Yeah.
Once you've been strengthened, the Bible says, once you've been strengthened, you're going to strengthen your brother. Don't keep it to
yeah.
yourself.
Yeah.
You're going to tell somebody else how you got help.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's what it's about. You know, connected.
Mm-hmm.
Getting one another connected to help
mm-hmm.
each other build from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it starts at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we can ever get that into our spirits and then pass mm-hmm. it on, I guarantee we'll see our
absolutely.
Family, our generation
absolutely.
Turn around.
Yeah.
You know, as you were saying that, I was thinking about the one last thing, which is the couple who are not married,
mm-hmm.
who go back to their fragile family that I was talking
mm-hmm.
about,
mm-hmm.
their fragile family, and how, you know, nowadays, especially in the church, we tend to want to dismiss them
mm-hmm.
and discard them. And so I want to advocate for the fragile families.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm so passionate about that even I, you know, I'm the type of person that takes in the mom.
Mm-hmm.
I bring her. I don't believe in putting women in desperate situations.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the most horrific thing you can do to
right.
a woman,
because
the streets will eat her up alive.
Oh, yes.
And so
oh, yes.
I just don't believe that any Christian person can put a woman, especially a woman with a child,
mm-hmm.
in a desperate situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I open my doors to fragile families
right.
and fragile moms. But being able to talk to this audience about how necessary it is that we also be that support to the fragile family.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see the single mom, and even if it don't, you know, it's not the perfect situation, the father might be running a little game, somebody have to step in and start to really work with that husband, that father,
yes.
and that single mom, and trying to get them to come together
right.
for the sake of the kids. You know, and I said this, and even when I said this to some older people, their response was, everybody don't need to be married.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be married.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to. They may not be the woman for them. I'm like, well, you know what made him the woman, her the woman for him? She got his baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's when all cars, it was, the bill was, and we used to be that way.
Right.
We used to, as a community, we used to be the, have that kind of integrity about ourselves and importance about a family that, okay, you went and got her pregnant.
Right.
Oh, you could have married her.
My dad told me that years ago. He said, son, whatever girl you get pregnant, that's the girl you going to marry. And that's exactly what happened to me. Girl, I got pregnant. I had to marry her. Mm-hmm. My dad told us that. He said, you're not going to go around and impregnate all these women around and get all these girls pregnant in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. He said, because now that you're going to be married to all of them. Mm-hmm. He said, because well, girl, you get pregnant. He told all those boys that. The girl you get pregnant, that's the girl you need to marry.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, guess what? Don't be laying around with every girl.
Right.
If you're not going to marry her, don't lay around with her.
And I think that's the message. That's the message we have to start giving men.
We do.
And these young boys. We have to start really early.
We do.
Getting them to understand that baby means
family.
Marriage.
That's right.
Baby means family. That's I had to tell someone. I told him, I said, you know what? By the law, by the state, I already recognize you as a family.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm sorry, boo.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
You might not have put a ring on it, but the state don't care if a ring on it is not or not.
Mm-hmm.
They already recognize you as a family.
Absolutely.
Now, you can go and do what you want to do, but let mama need some support.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They gonna come looking for you.
Exactly.
One way or the other.
Right.
One way or the other.
They coming looking for you.
Right.
To say, okay, you gonna have to pay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For your family.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yes.
Because the state recognize you as a family.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so, I think that's important that we really, you know, start to really advocate for these fragile families because I say with that research that they call it the Strong Family Report. If y'all ever want to read about it, for those of you that are information geeks like me, it's called the Strong Family Research.
Okay.
It's just Strong Family. And there's lots of literature on it. And there's actually a place called the Anthem out in North Dallas,
Anthem,
the Strong Family Anthem.
Yeah.
And their program is based off of this research where they take these families that are fragile. They're considered family by the law, by the state. They consider families, but they're fragile because they haven't actually created that stability for the family so that they can continue to thrive as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so they take these people and these fragile families and they start to do exactly what you said, Kenna.
Mm-hmm.
Start pouring some information into them, feeding, reprogramming them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they can start seeing, wait a minute, I can't go out with Bo and Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't go hang out with Bebe and all them.
Right.
Because I got this kid at the house.
Absolutely.
And he needs some diapers.
Yes.
And diapers cost money.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
true.
I got to go get a job.
Absolutely.
And I think that's trying to reprogram the women to realize, like you say, if I get pregnant by Joe and Joe leave and go get another family and I mess with Bo, get pregnant by him, I'm still stuck. You know, it's like you say,
it's self-destructive.
It is.
That's self-destructive.
And we have to reprogram ourselves to say, I'm worth more than that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it amazes me how we do that. We give so easily our bodies up, and that's for another day and another topic, but it's so easy as women. We give that up so easily, but everything else we try to put a fence around it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't have my money. Now you can't have it. This right here, I mean, we just.
Oh, wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, right there.
You can give up your car.
Yeah, for real.
You're holding on to your car and all your stuff, you know. But you throwing it out there it ain't worth a dime.
Exactly. And this is
okay, women.
Yeah.
Now y'all heard that. That's a free one. Another free one.
Yes.
You didn't have to pay for that one, so take that one and chew on it because I think it's all these things are so important. We're about to wrap up the show. We're about 10-15 minutes in out, and so I always like to recap around this time. So if you didn't call in, and that's okay if you didn't call in. I hope you enjoyed the show because this subject was so important, and as I say, this whole show is about increasing access to mental health for underserved communities, for our community, because mental health services has not been available.
Right.
We don't trust no mental health professional. We've been told not to trust.
Mm-hmm.
mental health professionals.
Right.
We've been told to pray about it and fast about it and thinking that that was going to fix everything. And all we did was stay in our mess.
Exactly.
So I decided that we needed a show.
Yes.
We needed something. There's plenty of shows that we have in our community about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
But this audience that I'm open and I'm trying to reach is the audience that is not even making it to them. So I don't want to make this show heavy on theory and literature. And I don't want to make it all about church and God and all that, because God going to take care of heaven.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
God got heaven under control.
Yeah,
so
true.
He ain't really needing me to come in and do a whole lot to save heaven, okay?
Yeah,
so
right.
Y'all can forget about that. God got that part. But I want this show to be for that community so that you can make this connection in a way that is meaningful for you.
Yes.
We already in the church.
We
already turning to the church for help.
Yes.
We already doing that. But I want you to make that connection with the church and with a Christian life being your road to mental health.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that, if you challenge with anything, if you're suffering in any kind of way, if your marriage is broken, if your children ain't acting right, if you don't have any peace in your home, and it is really affecting your ability to function, you can't even go to work without being disturbed.
Yeah.
You go to work crying, and you have a smiling face when you get to work, and then you're crying on your way home
because
you got to go home and face the same stuff every day in, day out.
Right.
This show was for you.
It was
for you.
Thank
it was for the one that the husband who is really wanting his wife to be the woman so that he can be that man of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to do it. He's trying to step up. But for whatever reason, that woman is blocking him.
Yes,
she is. Yes, she is.
She blocked him because she boss lady,
Yes, she is.
Oh, yeah.
She finally, it's that single woman who's spent all of her time trying to carry that load.
Mm-hmm.
Not because you wanted to, but because you've had to. Because you've had to.
Yeah.
This show was for you.
Yes.
Because there is a different way.
It is.
There's a different way. Even I've learned something tonight. I've become more aware of my own situation and how I have got to start opening myself up to trust that there is somebody who knows how to love me.
Yes.
Absolutely.
He ain't gonna ask me to clean up his house.
No.
He ain't gonna ask me to do all that.
No.
He ain't gonna ask me to be this woman that gotta be home at 5:00 because I might not show up like tonight till 11. I'm doing my show. You better call Kim.
No, that's right.
He gonna understand. Sister's on a mission.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he gonna be co-hosting.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be, you better call us.
Yeah. See, you already got the faith to believe in it. You claimed that one.
You sure did.
You claimed that one.
You better call us.
You better call us.
You claimed that one. That's great.
So, you know what? I had to get open. I had to be opened up tonight.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I hope this show did that for you, for my audience, for the audience. And I want to thank all of you for the time that we were on Facebook Live.
Yes.
It looked like we got a lot of support. Some people out there that probably didn't even know that we were doing this, so thank you, Miss LaVita, for bringing that to my attention. Because I'm still I think I'm a little techie savvy, but I'm finding out I'm getting a little old school. I'm gonna have to pick up my game.
Yeah.
You know, these kids getting in front of me, so I have to learn how to do all this other stuff so I can keep this thing out there.
Yeah.
And if you really enjoyed this show and it was ministered to you, go to my Facebook page, Kim Pearson, Dallas, Texas, or Cunningham Community, Cunningham Counseling Clinic, either one of those pages, like that page. There's also some information, you can look up, youbettercallkim.com, that'll be my website, and I want you all to kind of go in and find out more about what I do. Also, if you have an event and you need somebody to come and speak about mental health, that is my passion. I need to get this message out here because this is what I believe is going to transform our communities.
Yes, it will.
We got to get this message in our churches.
Yes.
We got to get this message in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it again, we are already at the church.
Yeah.
Even the politicians know if you want to get the black folks,
right.
go to the church.
Right. Right.
Even Donald Trump knows that if you want to get to the black folks, you go to the church.
That's right.
So I'm trying to get this to the people in the community. And so if your church is having anything and you need someone to come and speak to them about mental health, about these issues, making a connection so that they can start moving in a way of healing, in a way of wholeness and prosperity, because it's there.
Yes.
God made it available.
Mm-hmm.
It's accessible. We just need to learn how to access it.
Yes.
And these resources are already in our community.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen, since I decided to go back to school to become a counselor,
right.
I started finding out everybody was a counselor.
Mm-hmm, for real.
If they weren't a counselor, they was a coach.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, it was like this was a new thing, and I thought I was doing something original.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I get a chance to go back and do what I originally wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you all to keep this open. Check it out. This show is going to be added to my podcast on www.youbettercallkim.com. And most importantly, hey, check out www.davidsoninterventionintervention.com.
Yes.
These two guests are phenomenal.
Thank
when
you,
I I went to their anniversary party, they had like 15, almost 2,000 people at their anniversary party. And that's how popular, as my niece would say, popular. That's how popular they are. They are very highly recommended, and people come. People need them. And so, you know, if you all need someone to come, again, come to your, y'all want to do a workshop or something at your church, in your community, at your agency, wherever you are, and you're looking for somebody to really come in and do this and talk about this in a very passionate way that can connect with the people, this is what you have. We're here. And so if y'all have any closing words.
Thank you for inviting us out. We appreciate it.
We appreciate
Very
it.
Nice.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Yes.
It was good.
Yes.
Okay. As always, you know, I want to always leave my dad this space because, you know, he's my prayer partner. He's my intercede person. I know he's always praying for me,
mm-hmm.
and praying for the show. So I always leave this space for him to say a good prayer and cover us and for the show and for the listening audience. So, Dad, if you would just lead us in prayer.
Thank you. It's been a great night.
Mm-hmm.
And pray that God will bless you as you go on your way on tomorrow. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come to the close of this show tonight. Praise in your name for these guests that we've had who shared their experience and knowledge about the relationship and the marriage and the family. Pray that our hearts will nurture these words and this service tonight, for you have blessed us all down through the years, and we shall never forget it. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. And remember, if you're having a bad day, don't know what to do, or just need somebody to talk to, you better call Kim.
I make the sound everywhere.
Kim. Catch my show, You Better Call Kim, every Thursday night from 9 p.m. till 11. This show is an entertaining, lighthearted discussion about mental health issues we face every day. So if you're stressed, need a listening ear, or just want to get it off your chest, remember, You Better Call Kim. And don't forget to tune in every Thursday night from 9 p.m. until 11 in the Red Stream with your girl, Kim.
On FishbowlRadioNetwork.com. Jump in.
Hey, this is Yanni Juan Watson, host of The Vibe on Fishbowl Radio Network. Come catch the show every Thursday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Central Time in the Red Stream. Tune in for the best chill-out music and conversations with creative minds and interesting people. So jump in and catch the vibe.
On FishbowlRadioNetwork.com. When it's time to advertise your company, business, product, service, think FishbowlRadio.com. The largest personality-driven internet radio network in the world, operating 24-7 with over 100 diverse shows, music, talk, news, inspirational, sports, entertainment, 750,000 listeners a month and growing, local, national, global. Now is the time to take advantage of the growth potential of internet radio advertising with FishbowlRadio.com. Call 817-633-4880 and jump in.
Customize your gear today with Ochuk. Ochuk provides top-of-the-line printing for all of your merchandising needs. From custom Chuck Taylors to t-shirts, sweatshirts, and even lanyards, they customize it all. Visit them at the Parks Mall in Arlington, Texas, or at www.ochuk.com. That's O-H-C-H-U-C-K.com. Create a custom experience today with Ochuk. You think it, they'll ink it.
Introducing the Ferrero Rocher cupcakes loaded with luscious layers of sweet goodness, coated over dark chocolate cake, made with the freshest and finest ingredients to make you say, holy cupcake, voted top three cupcakes in the DFW area. Wondering where you can get these sweet chocolatey goodies? Where else but Le Cupcake and Treats? Call us now, 682-999-8276. That's 682-999-8276. Or visit us on our Facebook and Instagram at Le Cupcake and Treats, where we make life sweeter.
Toss Catering and Event Productions is a full-service catering and special events company that delivers a fresh, fun, and interactive experience. Led by Fernando J. Asensio, Toss Catering and Event Production combines a superb taste, unique presentation, and interactive services to create unforgettable events and memorable experiences. Their passion for food and avant-garde thinking sets them apart and has won them awards and recognition, along with the trust of their clients, from which they cater to on a regular basis. Visit www.tosscatering.com today. Toss Catering and Event Production creates the best experience for all your catering needs.
We all know a picture says a thousand words, but what's a picture without a frame? Art Frame Wholesale has what you need in order to bring your pictures to life. With over 1,000 frames to choose from, you are sure to find the perfect frame for any of your photographic needs. You can even customize your own frame to fit your most memorable picture. With a minimum of a 3-hour turnaround, Art Frame Wholesale can print and frame it for any special events you have that are right around the corner. With Art Frame Wholesale, your laminating, mounting, matting, and glass options are limitless. Visit them at 11425 Harry Hines Boulevard, Dallas, Texas, or contact them at 972-764-0010. Customize your frame now at artframewholesale.com. That's www.artframewholesale.com.
FBRN.US. Jump in.
Yeah, I was a smart little kid. That's like the part of me since. These days, you can catch me sitting on the bench in a bar with a larger grip. that if I think back to the days when I thought I didn't think that nothing that I thought would be possible. Trying to figure that out, but I didn't know how. But settle for a doctor, bringing those pounds. I wanted to deliver those clouds. These days I deliver those sounds.
I always thought of myself as a simple dreamer. I never tried too hard to believe it. Now all of a sudden it's on my mind.
No, 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 no,
a little bump that needs to be heard. Doug, I was going downtown.
Merge.
All alone, no one to be with. Stepped on the knee, chain at 205. I saw a pretty girl. So I sat beside her. Then she went through like she was Tony the Tiger. I said, alone, there's been a mistake. Honey, my name's Flick Craig, not Frosty Flake. Oh, got it. So she was raised in hell. She said, oh, my name is Maggie, but call me Michelle. Bust a move, we showing through. Hey, yo, Doug, do that record jam on the groove.
I don't give a
homeless, barely hardly a harmless. Your mind in the dawnless. I bet you see enemies, her cheddar she giving me. She stand outside forever like the Statue of Liberty. Underground king of the sack. I raise my cell phone up and pour some drink in my mouth. Why you always coming around with bad news?
Bad news.
Say you want me to win, but hope I lose. Hope I lose. Never rock with other dudes in the crew. But them cool. It's just that.
Same for with you. You little stupid ass.
Whoa.
Can't f*** with you. You look dumb though. Can't f*** with you. I got a million trillion things I'd rather do than to be with you. Little stupid ass. Don't give a about you or anything that you do.
I got a new chick that I gotta thank God for. I got a new whip that I gotta thank the lot for. Yeah, I got a lot, but want a lot more. Yeah, we in the building, but I'm trying to take it to the top floor. I swear I hear some new push every day I'm waking up. It seems like nowadays everybody breaking up. If you can break it down, if you lose a good girl, I guess you need a better to come around and make it up. I guess drama makes for the best content. Everything got a bad side, even the content. Now you're drinking till you're unconscious. Feel me when you get a five on. Don't forget to read the fine print. Life got me meditating like I'm in the Himalayas. Keep a G with the L it on me like the elevator. Yeah, I know that karma too real, so I hope.